I asked Brother Shane and Dan if he would come and bring God's word to us and kind of give us a final charge here before we walk through Bethlehem. And this is something that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of work. And from an office standpoint, Shannon has been Tony's right-hand man, Tony Foster. And Shannon has really been learning all the ropes from Tony this year. And learning all the ins and outs and what goes on behind the scenes. And I know Tony would echo this, that Brother Shannon is a great blessing to our staff. He's a great blessing and an asset to the ministry here at Crossroads. And he's a great blessing to walk through Bethlehem. And I know he loves the ministry very much. And so I asked him if he would to come tonight and to give us kind of a final charge before we're going to get going here Friday night with this thing. Of course, Wednesday night's the dress rehearsal, so we're not going to have the core group here together to have a charge. So we're going to do that tonight. So I want you to get your Bibles out, get ready, and Brother Shannon's going to come and preach God's word to us. Aren't we thankful for Brother Shannon tonight? Brother Shannon?
Thank you. All right. If you would, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I love Walk Through Bethlehem. Everybody love Walk Through Bethlehem? It's an awesome, awesome ministry here. It's a great outreach. In fact, when I look back, I started coming to Crossroads in 2005. And I got the opportunity to do all sorts of different things in Walk Through Bethlehem and see every aspect of Walk Through Bethlehem. And in fact, I mean, it's so awesome. If it wasn't for Walk Through Bethlehem, I wouldn't be married right now. You know, so there you go, singles. Remember, serve, glorify God. You never know. You may be bringing your future soulmate there to Crossroads through Walk Through Bethlehem. Yeah, her family came because of Walk Through Bethlehem. And I didn't come because of Walk Through Bethlehem. Back in that time, when my parents said, hey, there's this neat outreach called Walk Through Bethlehem at this church. It's really neat. You should come. I was kind of a bum back then. It's like, I don't want to do that. You know, and I finally, when I came here, I lived right across the street. And when I came here and started getting involved in Walk Through Bethlehem, I was like, wow, this thing is so amazing. I can't believe all these years I've been saying, no, I don't want to come to this thing. In fact, my first experience with Walk Through Bethlehem was as a Roman soldier. I mean, you can't get more fun than that. A former Marine playing a Roman soldier with the sword and everything. It was awesome. In fact, probably one of my most memorable times or moments from that Walk Through Bethlehem is when Pastor Larry got the awesome idea of having a Roman soldier kneeling at the cross, in the cross and tomb, the helmet down on the ground and just like praying. The awesomeness of the cross, that this Roman soldier, I mean, if there was going to be a Gentile person, it was a Roman soldier. And I thought, wow, what a cool dramatic thing for people there. And so I got to take part in that. I'm down on my knees praying and the people are coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. And about an hour later, I literally was praying for a break in the groups, because I'd been on my knees on the ground the whole entire time. There was so many people, they just had to pack the groups in. But you know what? It was a blessing to limp out of that night of Walk Through Bethlehem, because, hey, if that was an opportunity to be an impact in the life of others, what a great blessing. The next couple years, I got to be an extra and walk around in the city, because we had just gotten married. We just had a new baby, and so we couldn't really spend the time that we did. But then a couple years after being a Roman soldier, then I was on staff as maintenance, and that was another memorable moment, because I got to see a side of Walk Through Bethlehem that nobody ever sees. I mean, there's nothing like a capstone to your Walk Through Bethlehem when you actually have to pull a toilet out to unclog it, because of the experiences of Bethlehem. So, you know, what I'm trying to say here is we can laugh and it's funny and all that, but it's such an awesome, awesome ministry in every aspect. And the one thing that I noticed from the time that I was just that new recruit as a Roman soldier to doing the maintenance, to then helping Pastor Larry with administrative and helping Tony, is the one thing that has amazed me with this ministry is just the heart of the volunteers that take part in it. Everybody is just so excited. Everybody is just, you know, on fire. Everybody is there helping each other. And it's amazing when you think about this takes hundreds of you coming together to put all of these different parts and pieces together in order to take just three short nights. If you really look at it in the whole scope of things, we only have them for a few hours, for 6 nights in December each year. And to just to take those moments and present the gospel to them. It's just awesome to see how excited everyone is. It's amazing to see all of the preparations that go into this ministry, from building the city to getting the donations, to baking cookies, to handing out all the cards. All of these preparations that just as each day goes by, it all starts to come in together and to fall into place. It's so awesome watching all this happen. But tonight I want to look at a different set of preparations. You know, the construction, you need the city, you need the cookies, you need to send the invites out. But really there's another way that we need to be preparing ourselves for Walk Through Bethlehem. It's less than a week away. I mean, think about it. This Wednesday, we're going to be having our dress rehearsal, giving the actors their opportunity to some of them say their lines for the first time in front of people. And then Friday night, here you go. Whether you're ready or not, we got to go. I kind of liken it to a roller coaster ride. You know, you can fret when you're in line. I don't know. Yeah, well, it looks kind of exciting. You know, and as you get closer, you can still bail out. But once you sit down and those bars click, you can just hold on, okay? Once Friday comes, we're in it. We're in it. We can't bail out, you know? And really, with that in mind, there's some really true preparations we need to make. So how should we prepare ourselves for Walk Through Bethlehem? Look at Romans chapter 15. Verses 1 through 6. I think we get some great principles from God's word here from this passage on how to prepare ourselves for Walk Through Bethlehem. The Bible says here, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this great opportunity here to share your word with everyone tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this great body of Christ, this wonderful local assembly here at Crossroads, this wonderful church family. It's such a blessing to be able to just come together and worship you together, to honor you and to give you all the praise, to learn and grow from your word. And Lord, I just pray tonight just to be just humbly used by you. Simply use me as your tool to share your truth tonight. And may all of us just have hearts softened and ready to learn and grow and to take these principles we learned tonight and apply them in our lives so that ultimately we can give you the glory in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So how are we going to truly prepare for Walk Through Bethlehem? Well, the first way is we need to do this by serving as a team. We need to have the mindset of a team in order to be prepared. Look at verses 1 through 2. It says here, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Listen, there is one definite truth about Walk Through Bethlehem, and that's one person cannot do it all. One person can't. I mean, can you imagine Pastor Dan being out there registering the groups as he comes in, and then he comes in, and then he ushers them to their seat, and as they sit down, he runs up here and he sings some songs, you know, and then he leads them out, and he takes them on the tour, and not only is he the Roman soldier at the gate, but he's the tour guide and the shopkeeper. I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, Pastor Dan's amazing. But one man can't do it. One man can't do it. It takes a whole entire team. Listen, teamwork is vital for Walk Through Bethlehem to be effective. But teamwork isn't just a bunch of people working together. You know, the Bible here describes teamwork in a much more deeper way. What did verse 1 say? It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." You see, teamwork, all right, teamwork isn't just a group of people working together. It requires something deeper. It requires those that are a lot more grounded, more experienced, stronger in their faith, more prepared to step down and be willing to help those that are maybe new. Think about this. Think of the tour guides. What a daunting task a tour guide is. They have to memorize all those lines. They lead a group from shop to shop. And we've got some awesome veteran tour guides that have been doing it for years. For years. They can just spew off their lines like it's nothing. But I know what's exciting this year is we've got a whole bunch of new tour guides that have never, ever done it before in their life. Man, one of the greatest ways to show teamwork is for one of those veteran tour guides to travel around with one of the new people so that they can be there in case they stumble, they can step in and help out. See, that's that idea of teamwork here that you see in verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. In the Marine Corps, we had a saying, you're only as strong as the weakest link. That means, listen, you can go out there, you can do your mission, you can do your training, whatever it is, you can be a team, but you're only going to be as effective as your weakest purpose or person on the team. And so the idea is for the rest of them to come down and pick up the weakest link and to help them along until they get strong enough, they get experienced enough, they get equipped enough to be right there with everyone else. We need to have that same spirit with Walk Through Bethlehem. Listen, one of the coolest things about Walk Through Bethlehem is that every year we've got new people. Walk Through Bethlehem brings new people to our church. And so we've got new people who have the opportunity to serve. Maybe they've never acted before, but they wanted to. What a great show of teamwork for the veteran actors to just step in, come right alongside them, and help them get comfortable in their roles. We need that team mentality, that idea of picking up the weakest link and making them stronger. Romans verse 15, verse 2 here says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That means building them up. Listen, another aspect of teamwork is not to just focus on your needs. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on. I mean, all of us, when you look and you just watch the nights of, I get to walk from registration all the way through to the end of tour and see all the different activity that goes on. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of responsibility. But don't get so tunnel vision. Don't get so tunnel vision that you forget that you're part of a greater picture. You're part of a greater picture. Listen, you may not have signed up to be part of the cleanup team, but if you're walking along, you see a piece of paper on the floor, you pick it up. That's that idea of not just looking to your own needs, but looking to the needs of others. You know, it's interesting. I've read numerous surveys about churches. And do you know what the number one turnoff for people visiting a new church is? Bathrooms. I heard it over here somewhere. Bathrooms. People walk in, a dirty bathroom, they leave. Think about that. You know, a lot of times we downplay the finger smudges on the glass in the balcony or the paper lying on the floor. But those are the things that the outside world are going to be looking at. You know, so from the smallest to the most prominent, whether you're a tour guide and an actor or you're a behind-the-scenes person cleaning up the bathrooms, you got to see that you're part of the bigger picture. We all can take a hand and help each other. He says here, let every one of us please his neighbor. We need to be thinking about how can we edify our church family during this? How can we help relieve the burden for someone? Wherever there's a hole, can we fill it? Can we edify our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ while we're serving throughout Walk Through Bethlehem? It's the idea of going above and beyond the call of duty. If you have an opportunity to help, you slip in there and you help. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to become focused just in your own particular area. I mean, we have literally thousands of people come every year to Walk Through Bethlehem. This whole place is filled. It's filled. It's so easy to become focused. But we got to remember that all of us are playing a part in this great ministry. And just like the church is described as a body, you know, when I wake up in the morning, my foot doesn't decide to go have breakfast, okay, while my hand decides to go, you know, comb my hair, and this foot, so, you know, they don't work in different directions. They all work together. That's why we're described as a body. Having that idea of helping each other, lifting each other up, keeping each other encouraged. And verse 5 here holds the key to this. Look at verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The idea here is being like-minded. Like-minded. The word like-minded means to be of the same mind. To be on the same page. I like this definition. Cherish the same views. You ever cherish anything? You get something special from someone, and you know, you never want to let it. I think of Mackenzie, our little one. She loves her binky. Okay, she's got her binky right there all the time. And when that binky's gone, you know, forget it. She's looking for it. Want my bank? Where's my bank? The other day she was like, bank. Where is it? She's looking around. She cherishes that binky. She's going to do whatever she can to hold on to that binky. Well, listen, we need to be cherishing the fact that we need to be like-minded, on the same page. We need to realize, why are we doing Walk Through Bethlehem? And keep that focus, no matter what it is we're doing. Whether you're registering guests or you're handing them a cookie. You keep in mind, listen, this is for a bigger purpose. This goes beyond just my day-to-day serving. This goes beyond the pat on the back that I may get. To be like-minded. Listen, the key to teamwork is to cherish the same views. I like this definition. It means to be harmonious. You know, to be in harmony with each other. To be in harmony. You know, you ever hear people singing and they're in harmony? Doesn't that sound beautiful? You know, on Sunday morning, our choir, you know, they're harmonious. You know, you're just like, wow. I remember when I was out in Bunnell and we had the Addictions Church out there and we were meeting in a little community center and it had no carpeting and it was all tile floors and bare walls and the place would just echo. It was wonderful for me because I'd get my voice booming. I could really preach it in that place. But it was awesome because when we sang, wow, we were so harmonious because the acoustics, it would just bounce off each other. We were like, wow, we got to record ourselves until we shifted to a new building and we started singing and we're like, whoa, there's nothing harmonious about that tune. You know, it wasn't harmonious. We weren't gelling together. Our voices were not working together. So listen, that's not the idea. We need to be harmonious in our thoughts, in our views about walk through Bethlehem. We all need to be focused on the same purpose. Because if we're not, all we're going to have is chaos and confusion. Listen, we need to be looking for ways to help each other, to edify each other, to keep each other encouraged. We're going to have some long nights. You know, for those of us that are there from beginning to end each night, you know, you start getting the walk through Bethlehem loopy syndrome, you know. But it's fun because that's when you really start to see everybody kick in with the teamwork and lifting each other up. We need to be team minded. But the second thing that we need to do to prepare ourselves for walk through Bethlehem is by remaining humble. We need to be remaining humble throughout the entire event. Look at verse 3. This is a great verse here. Verse 3 says, "For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Let that sink in. For even Christ pleased not himself. Listen, there's nothing more destructive to a team effort than the overinflated pride of its members. Listen, when each member starts to think that they're more important than the other, or when the team as a whole starts to think that we got it down pat, we can't fail. Folks, we're heading for a disaster. We're heading for a disaster. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Listen, when we start letting our pride get overinflated, that's when the little bickerings start to happen. And then you started adding in being tired, and maybe you are the one that confronted that one guest that wasn't happy because we didn't have the right cookie, you know, and you're like, and then you start taking it out on your next person, and you got this chain reaction. Why? Because pride has slipped in. Only by pride cometh contention. Where there's no pride, there's no contention. Why? Because nobody's trying to get one up over each other. It doesn't matter. Really? You're better than me? Awesome. Praise God. I hope you are. Let me help you get it even better. That's the idea. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction." Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, you see pride, you see a haughty spirit, there's a fall just right down the road. There's a fall coming. We got to remain humble. We got to remember, listen, this isn't about Crossroads. This isn't about Shannon Dan. This isn't about how great our cookies are. This isn't about, let me tell you, the best people at Bethlehem are the Roman soldiers. They're it. They're awesome. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. It's all about remaining humble. Listen, if it wasn't for Christ anyways, there would be no need for walk through Bethlehem. I mean, I don't know about you, but I particularly don't care about going to a walk through Shannon. You know? I mean, that doesn't sound too exciting. Maybe to some people, I don't know. But it's all because of Christ that we're doing this. Remember, verse 3 said, "For even Christ pleased not himself." Even Jesus Christ himself was humbled and humbled himself in service to the Father. Hold your place here. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Great passage here. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 7 there, talking about Christ. It says, "But made himself of what? no reputation and took upon him the form of what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ made himself of no reputation. No reputation. And became a servant and humbled himself. Even Christ humbled himself. We need to keep that humility right at the forefront. Right at the forefront. To always keep the purpose of this ministry in proper perspective. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. I can't save anyone. I can't. And none of us can. None of us can. The only thing that we can do is share the gospel and share Christ with others. But folks, if we're puffing ourselves up, Christ is going to be hidden. Christ is going to be hidden. We need to remain humble. Listen, it's very easy to become critical of people that are working in your area, or maybe people that are in other areas serving. But listen, if we remember that we're human just like they are, we're just as much a sinner as they are. We're just as much in need of Christ as they are. It'll help us keep that proper perspective on what Walk Through Bethlehem is all about. Folks, I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I know, because I've been doing stuff for Walk Through Bethlehem already. And I've gotten emails, hey, where's my list? Oh yeah, I got the list. Sorry. Here you go. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But that's what makes this ministry so great. Because we have the opportunity in the light of our mistakes, in the light of our shortcomings, to be edified by our brothers and sisters. And for them to help us along. And to help us keep in perspective, you know what, even though I made mistakes, that's why we have Christ. That's why we have Christ. We got to remain humble. Listen, things won't run spotless without mistakes. We all get tired. We all have times of stress. But it doesn't have to tear us down. Doesn't have to tear us down. We got two great sayings in the Marine Corps. I love them. And it has to do with this subject right here. And they're always in my mind whenever I'm working with the group. The first one, everybody knows the Marine Corps motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Well, we had another one. Any of you familiar with Gumby? Who's familiar with Gumby? There we go. You know, the little clay person, the little green, weird looking dude, you know? Well, we have another one, Semper Gumby. It means always flexible. Always flexible. And the other one is adapt, improvise, overcome. You know what's great about those two sayings? What's great about that is it helps keep it in proper perspective. A lot of times we have the bad habit of when something falls through the cracks, we want to highlight the problem and the person that did it. But remember, if we're not focusing on Christ, okay, we're following the wrong purpose. And so we think Semper Gumby. You know what? Things are going to happen. People are going to drop the ball. Weird things are going to happen. I mean, think about it. You get thousands of people together. You've got torches. You got guys going around with plumes on their helmets. You got geese and goats running around. Something's bound to happen. Okay? Something's not going to go according to plan. Semper Gumby. Be flexible. Be flexible. Be prepared to bend. That's the one great thing about Gumby. You can take Gumby and twist him in all sorts of shapes. But he stays Gumby. We should be able to just bend and flow. Semper Gumby. And the other thing is adapt, improvise, overcome. Listen, if something strange comes up, we'll change. We'll find a way. We will overcome. We don't want to allow a goat running loose in the city to keep us from reaching people with the gospel. I mean, if I got to take my shoelaces off and make a rope to tie that goat up, we'll do it. We'll adapt. We'll improvise. Overcome. What's great about those sayings is it takes the focus off of the person and keeps it on the solution. It's the solution that's going to help reach the community with the good news of Christ, not the problem. And we got to keep our minds on the solution. And that's remaining humble, remaining flexible. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. Remember that. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. In fact, let's say that. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. Listen, if we're to be truly prepared for Walk Through Bethlehem, we must first serve as a team. Always be mindful of the team. How can we help others? How can we encourage others? How can we step in the gap to fill a hole? And to remain humble, it's not about us. It's all about Christ. And that brings us to our last point, which is how are we going to be fully prepared, truly prepared, for Walk Through Bethlehem? And that's by seeking to give God all the glory. He deserves all the glory. Look at verse 6 in Romans 15. If you're not there, go back there. Verse 6 says that we may with one mind and one mouth, what? Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the purpose. There's the purpose. Why do you walk through Bethlehem? To glorify God. Why have thousands of people come on our property? Why spend all that time getting pens donated and filling out cards and putting on music here, having people take them through the city, buying all the lamp oil and the flames and the animals and all of that? Why do all that? To glorify God. Listen, teamwork and humility are vital parts of the process. But there is one step in the preparation process that is more important than them all. If we're going to be truly prepared for Walk Through Bethlehem, we need to be seeking to give God the glory in every single aspect that we do. Listen, I bring this up only because I did it for a couple years. There's nothing like doing maintenance for Walk Through Bethlehem. There's nothing like getting a call on the radio that the duck or the goose or the rabbit left something in the auditorium. It was clean up on aisle 2. That was the code word. So whoever's working maintenance for Walk Through Bethlehem this year, clean up in aisle 2. You know, and I countless times 1 year, I don't know what they were feeding these animals. But it was a common occurrence. And how I had to come in here with my cleaning rag and the spray. But you know what? It was an opportunity to glorify God. You're like, what? How in the world are you going to glorify God? Well, what were they going to see? Some guy complaining because he had to clean up some more animal stuff? Or somebody while I was cleaning up going, Merry Christmas. You enjoying Bethlehem? Praise God. Let's go. I'm serious. You know, hey, it's easy. It's easy to glorify God when all your lines are about talking about God. But when you're having to shovel up after the horses, okay? Or you know, you're having to deal with that one guest that just for some reason didn't have a good time. We got to remember it's all about His glory. His glory. It isn't about what we have to clean up, who we have to talk to, what we got to do, how late we have to stay. It's about His glory. I love that word glorify. Verse 6 says that we may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God. And that word glorify means to praise, to magnify, to honor. This is my favorite definition. It says to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. You're like, whoa, that's kind of deep. What it's saying is to glorify God is to make Him and who He is as clear as day to the people around us. In other words, when people come onto our property, they should know what it means to love God because they see our actions and they see our words. That's what it means to glorify God. It means that in everything we're doing, we are just oozing forth who God is. We're just shining forth what Christ has done in our life. So it doesn't matter what we do or what we're going through. The focus isn't on us, but on Christ. I want people to come to this property and every person they meet, they don't see Pastor Rich, they don't see Shannon Dan, they don't see Pastor Dan, they see Jesus Christ. And by the time they go through the tour, they'll have come face to face with who Christ is. And if they don't have a new relationship with Him, the hope is that they're headed in the right direction. He needs to be at the forefront of everything we do. Remember that Walk Through Bethlehem is not about praising Crossroads. It's not about lifting up certain individuals. It's about exalting Christ in every aspect. Listen, this is the real purpose of Walk Through Bethlehem. Helping lives to be changed through a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, folks. As I mentioned before, I can't save anyone. I truly can't. I mean, think about how much easier it'd be if He had given us the power. But think about how big our heads would have been inflated. You know? Listen, He kept that to Himself. All we have to do is just share Him with others. And folks, that's what it's all about. Every census card that they fill out is an opportunity for us to reach out. And to hopefully get them connected. Listen, at this point in time, how many of us, in some shape or form, whether directly or indirectly, were affected by Walk Through Bethlehem? Look at all the hands. Wait, keep your hands up for a minute. Now, I'm just curious, may not be many, whether it's the night of Walk Through Bethlehem or maybe because of it later on, how many of you got saved because of Walk Through Bethlehem? Look at that. My wife. I didn't look in the balcony. Was there anyone in the balcony? All my in-laws. Think about that. Think about that. They came to Walk Through Bethlehem. It changed them. They came to Crossroads, got connected, got saved. And as a result, she married me. We got three great kids. Listen, one life trusting in Christ is all worth it. Amen. Is all worth it. And folks, I've been in here the last few years, and I'll tell you the numbers that we had, it wasn't the greatest number we've ever had at Walk Through Bethlehem the last couple of years. But I tell you what, it wasn't too far away, and at least three quarters of the people that were in the auditorium had never been to Walk Through Bethlehem before. Folks, that's awesome. That's awesome. Every year, the vast majority of the people had never been to Walk Through Bethlehem before. That's countless numbers of people who may have never heard the gospel before in their life. Every aspect of Walk Through Bethlehem is important. Everybody plays a role. And it all fits together. And the whole point of it is to make sure that we are magnifying Christ in everything that we do. all along the way, from filling a census card to eating a cookie to getting into their cars in the parking lot, they should see Christ in the members of Crossroads. Listen, we need to make sure that we cause the dignity and worth of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that it is manifested, shining out throughout the event, in the hope that people will acknowledge the importance of that relationship with Christ. Listen, if we're going to truly be prepared for Walk Through Bethlehem, we must serve as a team. It's a team effort. No one is an island unto themselves in this ministry. It's a team effort. We need to remain humble throughout the event, beginning to end. And we need to seek to give God the glory in all things, in every aspect. Shine forth Christ.